and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Ice dams.
Ice dams. Is that what you've been up to? Breaking the dams?
It's ice dam season here in Minnesota.
Damn right it is.
And for those of you who are lucky enough to not have to deal with it, ice dams happens after a nuclear snowstorm, of which we had two. They weren't really that bad, but we had two major snow events, one on Wednesday, Thursday, and the other one Saturday into Sunday, which gave us more snow in those two events than we've had the entire year. And I enjoyed it because then I got to slap on the four-wheel drive and four-wheel home. And if it was during the day and I was off, I'd go shopping because nothing says I'm mobile than four-wheel drives in a snowstorm. But, Corey, do you recall what the temperature was today?
38, 39, almost 40. Nope.
44 was the official high today.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't think I have to get into a too detailed analysis, unless you want me to,
no,
about what happens with 44 degrees and what it does to snow. So, needless to say, what happens is the snow melts on the roof, and it hits the gutters, and then tonight, when it gets down to 20, it freezes, thereby forming an ice dam. And then the next day, the snow melts again, and the water backs up onto the where the ice dam is on the gutter and usually goes to the roof. That's where people get, like, you know, water stains or black mold, or sometimes the roof collapses or causes water damage as it trickles down on the inside of a home. It usually happens to older homes, of which I have one. So now I have that to look forward to, which is nice. And, of course, the worst way to get rid of ice dams is to go up there and either throw salt on it, you know, like you use for breaking up ice, because that eats through the roof, using a pickaxe at it, because that'll put holes in your roof again. Usually, you either have to, like, clean your gutters, like I usually do in the fall, to stop them from forming ice dams. Or, like, if you can, get one of those guys with a hot water power spray to go up there at about $100 an hour and melt the ice away.
I was going to say flamethrower.
No, because that causes a different problem. See, because then when you light your home on fire, all the electronics and plastics and omnibuys, which I'm pretty sure are not fire resistant, they form a toxic smoke, which will either kill you or give cancer to the firefighters. So, no, I don't advocate that. You could go buy a snow rake, which is, as you would guess, a very long rake it's actually like a flat edge steel thing on a very, very long pole, so you can stick it up on your roof and slowly pull the snow off. For if the snow is not on the roof, it shall not melt, forming ice dams. So, needless to say, we've bored the entire tropical part of the United States and those of you across the world, except friends in Italy. I guess it actually snowed in the Vatican today. They had a rare snowball fight. Not a lot to last, like maybe an inch. You know, it's like how we get when we see, like, you know, Atlanta get a little dusting of snow. Oh my God, everything's closed. People sliding, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. And we're like, okay, well, we just had 10 inches and whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's Minnesota when I'm driving to work, you know, horrible snowfall coming down. And yeah, when I get to work, they're like, well, how are the roads? As long as you're not driving 90 miles an hour, you're fine.
Yeah, being a dickwad.
By the time it's February in Minnesota, if you don't know how to drive when it's snowing, you shouldn't be here.
I still think they don't. You know, like I said, I drove home Thursday night, had the four-wheel on, so I'm like, okay, no problem. There was nobody out, because who the hell's out on a Thursday night anyways? You know, and then Saturday when I went out, the traffic was a little more intense. And, you know, as you're driving, it's like you got a two-lane road and people are basically driving in the middle, except the two idiots in front of me, one with an all-wheel drive and one with a four-wheel drive. One had an itty-bitty car, one had a super big pickup. And they decided they would drag to see who gets in front of the other one. And I just kind of, you know what? Let them. I just stayed back. And, you know, I was waiting till they, what surprised me is when they went blitzing by the cop and the cop didn't do anything. But because I was like, okay, I promise I won't watch my rabbits fool around anymore if you just let them get it. But 'twas not to be.
Well, it's been a pretty busy week. I thought, next week, because last week it was just odds and ends and everything. And then next week it's like, we'll talk about what's coming up, about the comics we've read.
You mean like MSP Comic Con 2018, May 19th and 20th at the Minnesota State Fairground buildings. And if you go to mcbacomiccons.com, they've got your dealer application. They've got guests listed. I guess they're sending out the confirmations if you did send in as a creator guest. If you're interested in being an exhibitor, you can contact them there, and you can get all the other details. Or better yet, go back and dig up one of our podcasts back when Corey used to go to cons, where we would give oodles and oodles of con advice. Because even though it's an older podcast, it's still very timely.
Wait, we talk about timely comics? I got to go back and find that one.
We have.
No, I was talking about all sorts of news dropped about comics. All sorts of big things happened. But first, we have to talk about Black Panther, the movie. Joe, what did you think?
I haven't seen it yet.
What do you mean you haven't seen it?
Well, I'm a cheap bastard. Or rat bastard, that is. I mean, I didn't get in last week at the $5 movies because they're always full of real cheap rat bastards that are cheap.
That's so when I went.
I'm going to go, as we recording this podcast, tomorrow, because we're recording on a Monday, and I'll go tomorrow, cheap rat bastard, Tuesday, as I like to call it. And actually, my wife got tickets, so she's interested in seeing it, so it'll be interesting to see what she thinks. I know my daughters have seen it, Holly, twice, and I'm not talking to Holly right now. And she's just they absolutely loved it. Furthermore, I've been taking up the hobby of bocce ballism. Tomorrow is the last. We're not playing, but we have an actual grand finale or whatever. So I get to go and eat and drink beer and food for the free for an hour. And then after that, my teammates are going to play bocce ball, and then me and Chris are going to Black Panther. So I'm getting free food, free drinks, and a $5 movie.
You haven't seen Black Panther yet?
No.
You slacker.
Well,
the stuff you're supposed to do for the show. You've got to get this stuff taken care of, Joe. We
could always talk about Thor.
I haven't seen it yet.
Justice League?
I haven't seen it yet.
Batman versus Superman?
I still haven't seen it yet.
How about Fifth Element?
That movie came out like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Rio Lobo?
I haven't seen it yet.
Hang on a second. Random movie. Trial of the Pink Panther.
I have the DVD. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, well, it's this season. Let's talk about last year's WrestleMania.
Oh, we saw last year's WrestleMania at your house. The one in 2015 I still haven't seen yet.
Oh.
That's the one where I had to drive to Stillwater.
I have to confess, I haven't seen Justice League either.
Okay. We were sent a book to review. Have you seen that?
I have.
You did?
Now we got something to pot about.
There you go.
For sure. That's it, everybody. We saw. Let's talk about the movies we haven't seen.
Oh, I could do. You're lucky I'm podcasting with you today, Joe.
Because?
Because Filmstruck, which is that streaming film service that has the Criterion films on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they announced today that they're adding Turner Classic Movies. I may never talk to anyone ever again.
It will never leave the compound.
Damn right. And why would I need to?
Well, you keep talking about going to Amsterdam.
Well, there is that. Wonder if my streaming device would work there. Anyway, we were sent a comic to review, Joe.
Was.
From the fine people at Amigo Comics. That's amigocomics.com.
Actually, they were kind enough to actually send us all four issues.
Yes, they did. Amigo Comics is a Spanish comic company, but the comics are not in Spain. In the Spanish, they're we were sent comics in American, so we could read them. Thank goodness.
Yes.
And it's called what? The Last Hunt. It is a four part series, mini series that is complete in the four issues. And I'm trying to pull up the creators' names, and I'm having trouble with the.
It's written by, and of course, you know me, I'm wonderful with names. Hannu Kesola, Ken Jansons, who wrote it. Art by Paul Moore. Color by Beth Varney. And I guess the covers were done as well by Paul and Beth as well. Lettering by Ken Jansons and edited by El Torres. I had my PF or PDF up already.
Ah, you had it open. I am waiting for mine to open.
Waiting. Although I do got to say it was funny because when I was trying to download it, both Google and my whatever they use for their web, you know, virus anti thing was just kind of like, oh, this is too big for Google to download. Hope it's too big for us to open. Hope it's too big for us to scan. I said, I don't care. Just give me. So I just downloaded it onto the computer and opened it that way.
Now, each issue is $3.99 each, or you can buy all four in one pack for $11.97. So you do save a little money if you do it that way. Joe, what was your impression of The Last Hunt?
The first issue almost lost me. A little slow. I know they're setting everything up. It takes place in outer space, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. The art passes the who are these characters test, so I always know who it is when I'm looking at a different page. That's number one way to lose me is not having clear enough art. It's obvious that we're on a spaceship, and you kind of got the gist of what was going on right away. But it was just, you know, plotting and slow, and then maybe it was on purpose because, I mean, these guys are just on a standard routine expedition, nothing special. They're not looking for aliens. They're not fighting empires. You just kind of get the feeling they're just people who work in space, and they get down to Earth, and that's the, you know, a bit of a surprise because they're going to Earth. And they talk to some other people they see that are studying on Earth. And then when they get to the last panel of the issue, bam! Oh, something's happened. And that woke me up fast and got me into the second issue pretty quick. And I don't know how much I want to reveal about what happens.
Well, it changes from a science fiction story to a horror story.
Almost, yeah, kind of like the way Predator changes. You know, it's an action flick, and then it changes to sci-fi. So it was different in that effect. But by the time they got to the fourth issue, they did one of those change in times, change in backgrounds, where they were, like, revealing more of the nemesis. And that kind of threw me off, too. And by the time they realized who it was, I was kind of like, oh. The big twist wasn't really that big a twist for me. And I also, it comes up that, you know, the problem is when you deal with fictional villains, and I'm talking like supernatural, you can pretty much make the rules how you want. You want your vampires able to survive in sunlight, but it hurts. You want them to be allergic to lima beans. Whatever. You do what you want. You want your zombies super fast. You want them super slow. You want them semi-intelligent, and they can only smell you unless you're covered with them. Whatever. You make up the rules as you go along. this is where they kind of lost me, because when they did reveal who the nemesis was, it was kind of like, okay, that's an interpretation of this particular. I mean, are we going to reveal the issue? I mean, is this a spoiler alert?
Let's not, because okay, this is not a book that's been in a lot of comic shops.
Yeah. That said, for a mini series, I could see this as almost an episode of like a Twilight Zone type thing. You know, where what's happening at the beginning is nowhere near what's going to happen towards the end. You got to figure out, you know, what's happening. How are they going to survive it? It's definitely not who you think it is. I don't know. It didn't leave me wowed. It didn't really leave me impressed. What were your, what'd you think of it, Mr. Strode?
Well, I thought it was a well-done comic with some flaws. I thought that the art reminded me a lot of, like, Chris Samnee or Steve Lieber. It was that sort of style. And the coloring was amazing. I thought the coloring was some of the best I've seen in a digital comic in a long time. I was very impressed by the coloring and how it set mood, how it really made you feel each section, you know, because a lot of times the coloring is just kind of there. This, the coloring really kind of drew you in to what was going on in the story, and it really kind of helped reflect where you were in the story. It helped set scene almost as well as the art did, and that impressed me. Character-wise, none of the characters made an impression beyond being rather one-dimensional. Matter of fact, the first issue I was reading it going, if it weren't for these characters looking different, I wouldn't care. And I thought that they were very cliched for the characters, but this was a story that was plot, not character, which is a very European thing. If you watch European horror movies, the characters don't really do much other than react to what's happening. And in a lot of horror films, you know, characters don't really have much of a personality beyond the, you know, enough to get the story going. And I'm a more character-based person. The story barreled along at a really good pace once they set everything up in the first issue. It was very much a chase story. And I thought, for what it was a good horror story. I think horror fans will really like it. Science fiction fans will kind of, unless you like science fiction / horror, you're not going to much care for it. There was a lot to this world that eventually we didn't need. So I don't know if they're going to revisit this world in future miniseries, or if this was just a one shot, you know, 4 issues and done. But if it's just 4 issues and done, it's a nice little horror story. Again, I thought, like you said, I read it as if it was part of an anthology. And the thing about it was well done enough that I'm interested in the other stuff that Amigo Comics does. So,
and they did offer some previews, which was nice. You know, I'm always of a mixed mind, because you're kind of like, okay, are you cutting the amount of pages you could have given me by giving me a preview? Or are you adding the preview as a bonus? IDW had that problem for a while, because you'd get like a book and you'd only get half of the book was the title you bought, and the other half was an issue of something else that isn't out yet or is out concurrently. And you're like, what did I just buy? You know, I bought half a book, and it just didn't work. I didn't feel that way with this one, because they give you a little taste of the next thing that they're previewing. Matter of fact, I think by the time I got to issue 4, I don't recall if there was one in there, and I felt like, hey, where's my preview?
But you can pick up this comic over at AmigoComics.com. Joe, buy, borrow, or ignore.
I would say borrow, because I think I fit in the same fan, like you said, you know, sci-fi, not so much a fan of horror. Although, you know, some, you know, but I, like I said, we didn't reveal too many surprises, but it was kind of funny. I think it would have been a better Twilight Zone than a comic book.
And for me, it's a borrow unless you're a horror fan, and then it's a buy. Simply because of the art, the coloring, and the subject type. So if you're looking for a good horror comic, this is one to pick up. We got a second book to preview that was an actual, real, honest-to-God book with words in it, Joe.
Because we're out of control.
Yep, it is a collection of short stories based on Dead World, which was from Caliber Comics, starting in the 80s. And they are still, you know, every so often they put out a new miniseries or a one-shot. And it was probably the longest-running book that Caliber did. The creator of it passed away last year, so this is a tribute. Now, Joe, you said last week that you'd read some of it.
Yeah.
Did you get further in it this week?
I did.
And your opinion?
I'm not a zombie fan.
How dare you, sir?
And I don't think I'd have picked this up if I did pick up the original Dead World. And I kind of enjoyed it just as a zombie comic, because, and I think where I lost, and I remember talking to you about this, is like one of the main characters that I was really involved with suddenly, bam, just died. And killed by the zombies, obviously. And then after that, I had a tough time getting into it. I've tried to pick it up again. Maybe if I were to get an omnibus of it or something. God, we're giving away these ideas.
They actually put out a DVD of every issue ever printed about 4 or 5 years ago. They were selling that, so I picked that up. It's probably still available out on Amazon or eBay.
So you figure, you know, for me, I'm just, you know, I'm not a big horror guy, but, you know, I read through this, and for me, when I read text, especially fiction, if I can visualize a story in my head and not be drawn out of it, I can enjoy it and just sit back. I talked about, what was a book Alan Moore did where
Voices the first part, the fire.
Yeah, the first part I've tried dozens of times to get into it, and I just can't do it. It just, you know, I sit there and I try to envision the character. I try to envision the world he's going through. And I can't do it. My brain just short circuits. But the rest of the book was fine. And this one, I was able to sit down. I was able to enjoy the stories as they were. Again, not being a big zombie fan, it's really, or, you know, you mentioned horror, you know, either one. But even as I sit and I'm trying to think of something to say intelligent about this, it's like it just didn't stick with me, because I don't think I'm the guy that this is for. Now, you are a hardcore Dead World fan. What did you think on this?
Well, the thing to remember with Dead World is it came out during a time when nobody gave a damn about zombies. And one of the things that's different about the Dead World comic is that it's set long after civilization has fallen, but these aren't, you know, these are zombies that come from some sort of dark magic. It's not a plague. It's not, you know, an infestation. It's, nope, they've had a number of stories about the demonic creators of this zombie apocalypse. The lead character, King Zombie, is an intelligent zombie that knows magic. And I remember when it first came out, it was pitched as all my children with zombies. And one of the problems with the series is it would go for a while and then it wouldn't. And then when it came back, it may or may not be connected with the issues before, which never came to a conclusion. So you've got all these start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And you never really get a cohesive world. What this was a bunch of short stories set in that world as a tribute to the creator, Gary Reed. Like most short story collections, it was uneven, But to be honest, the thing I liked best was the opening where they talked about Gary Reed. They talked about the creation of Dead World. They talked about, are you putting ketchup on hot dogs over there?
Ah, we got ketchup.
Ketchup.
I like ketchup. Sorry.
You don't put ketchup on hot dogs.
Well, it's a good thing I got hamburgers, but
well,
go on.
You put mustard on them, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mustard.
You got a total barbarian.
What a barbarian you are.
He puts mustard on his pie.
He puts mustard on everything from
He's
what
on,
I heard.
Well, that's why he
I
lives.
I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, I did too. Oh, I'm sorry, Corey. I'll mute myself.
All right. So, the stories were uneven. Some were good. Some were mediocre. But I like the best part. In my opinion, was the opening where they talked about the series, they talked about the creator, Gary Reed, they talked about how important Caliber Comics was during its heyday.
Yes.
And
I love stuff like that because it's just, it's like a little piece of comic history.
They,
that especially the Caliber stuff, some of it which I just was not aware of.
They could have done, you know, that could have gone four or five times as long. As it was, if you're a fan of Dead World, you will like these short stories. If you're not, this is not going to make you a fan. This book has a limited audience, and I think it's really only for Dead World fans or hardcore zombie fans who are willing to buy into the like you talked about earlier, if you like the rules of this zombie universe, you'll like the stories. But there are some people who they don't want their magic mixed with their zombies, or they don't want their zombies mixed with their magic. So if, what is it? Don Thompson always used to say this in his reviews. If you like this kind of thing, you will like this kind of thing. You know, if you're somebody who's interested in this, you'll like it. If you're somebody who with, when we read the description, you go, eh, I don't think so. You're not, it's not going to win you over. So, Joe, buy, borrow, or ignore?
For me, borrow.
I think if you're a fan, it's a buy. If you're not, it's an ignore. Speaking of ignored, Marvel put out a big old press release right before they dropped their solicitations for May.
I'm sorry, what? Are we having another Secret Wars?
No!
Crisis on Earth 616?
No, although I would love if DC did something like that since Marvel's saying, oh, we don't use 616 anymore. No, they're doing a clean sweep.
Didn't they just do that with Legacy? Isn't that the whole point?
That's what I thought, too. But I guess people are saying that Legacy kind of bombed, so in May, we're getting an Avengers number one. With Jason Aaron taking over. And Joe, did you read the Marvel Legacy one-shot about the Avengers of 10,000 BC?
I don't think I did.
Well, this actually is the payoff to that. This is where the next part of that story goes. So the whole Marvel Legacy. Oh, wait, never mind. Now it's clean sweep. No, it's still the same story. Because they really, you know, just like with Rebirth, you know, they sowed a bunch of story seeds, and then it's taken quite a while for them to start showing up with Doomsday Clock and all the other stuff they're doing. So I don't see what the big difference is going to be other than they're saying, new creative teams, new books, new this, new that.
Yeah, I wasn't all that excited with it. I mean, I'm more excited about Bendis going to Superman, and I haven't been excited with Superman since, I don't know, pretty much the New 52. I mean, I tried the Grant Morrison run. I tried the...
Man, that Grant Morrison run, I expected a whole lot better from it.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm after reading the Golden Age Superman, I can understand where he was coming from, because Superman wasn't a very popular guy when he first showed up. But... you know, with Marvel, I'm kind of like, you know, are things that desperate that this is the best you could come up with? I mean, you had your Secret Wars, and you kind of boffed it, because just like DC did with Crisis, that was the perfect starting over point for everybody. Just, you know, hey, whether you started with ones or you started with legacy and renumbering. I just, all these things you keep pulling out of your ascot just ain't doing it. And I sat and I was trying to think, what would get me going? I suppose part of it's creative teams. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit when we talk about some of the stuff we read, but I'll give you an example, like the Avengers No Surrender. Yeah, that's fun, but, you know, I am so tired of you, Marvel. Every time I turn around, oh, we're going to go twice monthly with this book for 7 months. It's like you're just milking more out of me, and I don't feel like I'm getting anything special for it. You're just giving – yeah, I get more comic, but there's nothing happening that makes me go, wow, that was a great $8 spent this month times five, since five of the runs I am watching are now that way. You know, and I don't know if Marvel is in a position that they could do like DC and maybe do $2.99 books for some of them. But I don't know. I guess I'll wait and see when we finally get May's solicitation. I don't look at them ahead of time. I just, that's one of the things I enjoy doing when I get previews, is going through it and looking at it for the first time. But I just, I don't know. To me, the announcement met with a yawn. Although, if you know more of the creative teams, maybe you might mention a few to make me go, ooh, that could be fun.
The first one I've heard is Jason Aaron on Avengers, where he will be following up on the stuff in Marvel Legacy. Otherwise, I haven't heard a whole lot. Yeah, there are rumors floating around that the writer of Black Panther is going to be taking over Captain America, Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Does that mean Wade's off? Or
yes.
Both Avengers and...
Yeah, it looks that way. I wonder what Wade's going to be doing. Chris Samnee finished up his 10-year... deal at Marvel and is putting up pictures of Lois Lane on his Twitter feed. So that's interesting.
What's interesting is the fact that they went through all this bullshit of doing, oh, Marvel Legacy numbering, but we're going to start over with a number one.
Yeah, that really pisses me off.
Yeah, a lot to do about nothing.
Because it's like, oh, cool, I like that. I think that's a cool idea. And then, nope. Avengers needs a new number one.
Unless they're going to keep the original, you know, the original numbering on the team.
I would like it if they had it on the inside or on the cover, number one, and then underneath, you know, the actual number that they just added. But a lot of it seems like they're not really, that Legacy, it's just a rebranding. Because it's stuff they've already been putting in place. You know, we know that the Bruce Banner Hulk is coming back. They've already been setting the seeds for that. A lot of these things are things that they have set the seeds for. And I wonder how much of it is that now that they have a new editor-in-chief and he's up to speed, it's like, okay, rebranding. We're also starting to see rumors that the Fantastic Four are coming back. And a lot of people are saying, what is it? Marvel 2-in-1, which was supposed to be an ongoing. Well, the last issue solicited is number 6. And it's, you know, the search for the four. Maybe that's going to turn into Fantastic Four. Here's another reason why I think Fantastic Four is going to be in the June solicits. And it's why I think Marvel has no clue about their business plan. Joe, do you remember last year when we went on our omnibus buying spree because Marvel was dumping them all? And some of the ones they dumped were like the first Fantastic Four omnibus, the John Byrne Fantastic Four omnibus.
Yep, and I picked a few. I picked that up.
Guess what? They're reprinting those.
And the amazing thing? They did not resolicit or reprint the Infinity Gauntlet one.
No, that kind of confuses me. But Fantastic Four, the first omnibus is being resolicited less than 6 months after they dumped him out of the warehouse. Same with the John Byrne Fantastic Four, resoliciting that as a new printing with the, after they dumped that. Although one of the new books I looked at and was kind of, ooh, and it's... not an omnibus, but it is a larger size hardcover that has all of the main Galactus stories from the Fantastic Four run. So
that sounds cool.
So I'm wondering if the Galactus thing will be how the Fantastic Four comes back.
It could be. Galactus has no mortals to talk to.
Although, if you read the Ultimates, Galactus is now the Lifebringer.
Ah, that'll change.
Yeah, probably.
Never last.
Nobody remembers.
Nobody cares.
I put a note up on my Facebook page, and some people had some interesting things to say. Travis Hedge Koch said, since most of their canceled, some were never intended to run past when they were canned, sold out their print runs. Maybe Marvel should have a little more faith sometimes on, say, a best-selling novelist they've solicited specifically. Instead of giving it half the print run of a random spider comic by someone a mainstream audience has never heard of. I'll agree with that, because one of the things I've noticed is that Marvel's going back to press on a lot of their books. Dan Slott's run on Amazing Spider-Man, some of the issues, like the one that came out this week? No, last week. The one that came out last week, Joe?
Yeah.
It was selling on $20 on eBay within 2 days.
Wow.
And Marvel's already announced there will be a second and a third print of it, because there's so much dealer demand. The Iron Man stuff by Bendis is going through second prints. A lot of their books are going through second prints. So I'm wondering if it's just... You used to do this with Marvel and DC when Marvel said, we won't overprint ever. So you would order Marvel a little heavier, and DC you'd order a little lighter because you always knew you could get more from the distributor.
And it depended on the title, too.
And I wonder if a lot of shops are like, well, you know, Marvel's always got stuff that for reorder, so we'll order light and see what happens. Let's see here. Another one is...
It's always hard to figure, because the big thing that is the wild card is people ordering to get the variants, which I didn't have, that certainly not to the degree it is nowadays.
And a lot of the... How many dealers on Facebook or anywhere else said, I don't understand how to get the lenticular covers, it's really confusing, so I'm just not even going to bother with it. And then a lot of them...
At the last BlizzardCon I went, there were still people selling them. I don't know what the cover price was on them, but you could get almost any of them for $5.
Yeah. Let's see here. John Davis, long-time listener of the show. My comic shop that is closing in Detroit specifically mentioned Marvel as an issue. This is a lot of line shifting in 1 year. And his comic shop, I went to their website, the Facebook page, and they said, much like you said in 2006, hey, Marvel's books aren't selling enough for us to pay the rent. And for all the love that all the indie books that we give, Marvel's how you pay your rent. Marvel's the 800-pound gorilla. Let's see here. Michael Inanis, I probably mispronounced that name. They strive for real-world continuity, but nothing really changes anymore. They need to let go of the past, let some characters die, and go on with the effing costumes they settle on initially. I'm going to disagree with that, because Marvel used to be that it was like our world, but now... You know, Earth has relations with all these galactic empires, and we've got a space program that is there to defend the Earth. I think there's even a shield of some kind around Earth that keeps aliens from invading as much. Everybody knows about, you know, everybody there knows about aliens. Everybody there
there's
knows about
big,
this stuff.
Big, like, 800-foot tall celestial standing in San Francisco. Or wait a minute, did we forget that?
Yeah, we forgot that, but
yeah. I forgot that, yeah.
You know, Marvel's world is not our world. It's much more technologically advanced. It's a science fiction planet at this point. And I've always kind of said that, hey, you know, when you do stuff like that, you get further and further away from the world outside your window, the more it doesn't feel like Marvel. It's why Spider-Man we like the fact that he can't pay his bills, that he's got to worry about his aunt. He has dating problems. He's got this because it's relatable. They keep trying to get Captain Marvel to work. The problem is Captain Marvel's not relatable. She's the greatest superhero. She's an intergalactic crusader and all this. Well, who's Carol Danvers?
Crickets. Yeah, you just can't buy that Spider-Man's going to go back to fighting backstreet villains after, you know, being such a mega presence. You could almost see him disappear. But, you know, and even I was reading one of the Spider-Man runs that I'll talk about, and even they refer to that. It's like, oh, aren't you Parker's bodyguard? You know, they're still going to you're going to think of Spider-Man as that way. You know, I guess that's one of the reasons why I can't buy the whole mutant hysteria that the X-Men comics are trying to bring up again, because it's kind of like, you know, after being invaded and blown up and, you know, Thanos was here and Galactus was here and the aliens were here and all these different, you know, Skrull wars. Mutants are like the last thing on my mind, you know. We hate mutants because you're mutants. No, make it a different reason. Well, we may hate mutants because you're probably all aliens, you know. It's just, you know, you might be rehashing it, but it's gone. I'm not saying that as a bad thing, because I think I commented on one of your posters that I said, you know, DC even let Lex Luthor be president for a while. Granted, that was New 50, before New 52 mucked things up. But, yeah, go with it. You know, it's when he discovered, hey, Clark Kent is Superman. The U.S. government's known that the whole time. Boy, JFK just couldn't keep his mouth shut, could he? I bet you they took care of him too soon. But, go with fantasy things like that and, you know, see where you go, as opposed to, like you said, it's in our backyard.
And another thing that a lot of people talk about is the art. A lot of people are unhappy with Marvel's art style. And I think one of the big things is that Marvel doesn't have kind of a standard art style, and that could be a good or a bad thing. When you think back to Marvel, Joe, when you think of Marvel art in the 70s, John Romita and Gil Kane did most of the covers. A lot of people there were drawing like a mix of Kirby and Buscema, and you know, even with John Byrne was a mix of Kirby and Neil Adams. They didn't have a set style. But most of your books were kind of drawn the same way. Now, there's no real set art style. There's nobody that everybody tries for. DC, like them or not, everybody wants to draw like Jim Lee. What Marvel needs for their main books is, okay, this is kind of how we're going to draw stuff. And you could have the stuff that's different. You know, you can have your Squirrel Girl, just like, you know, when I was a kid, you had your main Buscema-style art, but, oh, here's Gene Colan, and here's P. Craig Russell, and here's Frank Brunner, and here are these guys who draw a little differently. Because when I posted about this, first everybody complained about the price. And I hate to tell you guys, but Marvel's been at $3.99 for at least 7-8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going down.
Nope.
And even DC, oh, we've got books at $2.99. Well, if you look at the number of books at $2.99, it's not very many. It's their highest sellers. And Marvel's always been the opposite of that, where their highest sellers, they always charge more for. Remember in the 90s, X-Men was the book that went to $1.95 before all the others did, so they could squeeze that 45 cents out of you little bastards.
Yeah, they just jumped from $2.99 to $3.99. No, yeah. $2.25, no $2.50.
No. They did the $2.25 and the $2.50. They didn't do, you know, $3.25 or $3.50. So, nope, $3.99.
Yep.
And here's the dirty little secret that I've been saying forever. The format doesn't work. it works for the fact that, you know, it usually takes an artist about a month to draw 22 to 24 pages. But serialized fiction, TV's not even doing it much anymore. The serialized stuff, nope, here's all of them all at once on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. Even the TV networks are encouraging binging. Get caught up on this series by going here, and you can watch every episode. Putting out a comic, waiting a month for the next part, not going to work.
No, that's us people. You know, watching those of you listening to the podcast, that is such a dying breed. I mean, my kids, I've talked on and on how they love comics. I mean, you can go back and listen to them, you know, when I interviewed them on the Solo Joe, but they're not going to go in a comic store every week. They're not going to go back month to month to pick up they will wait or they'll go without. And most of the people are going without. We're the last of a dying breed who got to go in and get that monthly fix.
And it's why the move to trade paperbacks, especially for Image. You know, I need to find that website. There was a website that tracks the trade paperback sales every month and just, it adds them up. And the last time I went there, it was the first volume of The Talking Dead had sold 250,000 copies in comic shops. That's not counting the hardcovers and the compendiums and the buying it online or buy. Nope, that's just through Diamond. And that was at least 2 years ago. Three quarters of a million copies. Saga's the same thing. It sells about 40,000 month to month. But that first book has sold at least 500,000 copies. That's where the money is. And a lot of people who work at Image, the regular issues, they may even be losing money on it, and they make up the money on the trade paperbacks. So, I know that people have been saying this for, you know, years. First off, comics are never going to go away. But I do think a 32-page pamphlet is doomed. I was at the grocery store Sunday morning, Saturday morning. And I always, when I go to the local Cub Foods, I stop at the newsstand where they had the magazines. They did not have Mad Magazine, because I did want to pick up the last issue of Mad Magazine. What? But Marvel's got a magazine out. That's, Marvel Superheroes. And they have Black Panther on the cover because there's a Black Panther movie. And they reprinted a couple of the Marvel Adventure stories, and they had puzzles, and they had crosswords. And you remember that stuff from Marvel Fun and Games back in the 70s, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's that kind of thing. And it was a magazine. It was $4.99, and it had two big comic stories in it, and I don't know what the sales are, but I'm betting it's probably doing a little better than 70% of the stuff selling through comic shops. Because it would have to. So, but that's my feeling on the Clean Slate initiative. I don't think it's going
to change. Wait, you're going to have to impress me, and you're not doing it.
What else? DC's canceling books, Joe.
About friggin' time. I mean, really? What pray tell are they canceling?
Joe?
Yeah?
Sad news. Supergirl has been canceled. Were you reading it?
No.
Were you buying it for the special covers that was Supergirl through the years?
Only the one from the 70s, because that's the style of original art that I dig.
Ah, okay. Supergirl's canceled. They're canceling a bunch of other stuff. I'm wondering if they're going to do kind of a clean slate on Superman. to get ready for Bendis.
Yeah, there's no Superdog. Never a Supergirl.
No Superdog?
Nope.
No Crypto?
I know. No Superboy.
I'm okay with that.
No Super Baby.
Oh, that
no Super Monkey.
Yeah, they did cancel the Super Sons series.
Nope.
Which I hadn't
Two
read.
Down.
But,
yeah.
Nope, DC's...
How about New Superman?
For the life of me, I do not know why they're still printing that, because according to the sales reports, it's selling less than 10,000 copies. And it's not... One of the things that people say is, well, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur sells like shit. Yeah, well, it sells really well outside the market. Also, do you want to know why Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur could probably be printed for 100 issues, Joe?
Why is that?
Last week, Marvel announced that Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur just got picked up for big money as an animated series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to break this to you, but I imagine that contract for the animated series made Marvel a lot more money than they could have possibly lost.
It wasn't Disney? Disney didn't buy it or keep it in-house?
Yeah, but you got to remember that Disney has to pay Marvel.
Yeah.
That's how corporations work. If you're going to pick up something from one of the other arms of the company, you have to, you know, give them the right. You know, they got to pay a fee. And even if they don't, you know, that series is going to make a ton of money from the initial run, then the online, and then it'll be on the streaming service. Then it'll be merchandised in Disney stores, and then it'll be rerun over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then there's the foreign runs, and then, yeah. It's kind of like Cloak and Dagger. Cloak and Dagger's never been a big success at Marvel, but guess what? There's going to be a Cloak and Dagger series this year on Freeform. You can bet Marvel's putting out a Cloak and Dagger comic series. And every appearance of Cloak and Dagger is going to be put out in a book somewhere. Because that's how it works. Hey. But yeah, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur is going to be an animated series. I didn't see which network it would be on. But I'll say this about the Disney networks. Yeah, I don't have a kid who's young enough. But when I work at one of the cottages at the group home, they have it on the Disney Junior.
Mm-hmm.
They have this one series about two pug puppies that I swear to Koresh is on all the time. And there's one episode that I'm not making this up. There's one episode that I have seen at least 8 times where their owner is looking forward to winter. So they're trying to capture the first snowflake. And it's every time I go over, because little kids, Joe, you had little kids at one point.
They were.
They don't mind watching something over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Hi, Kanya.
So that's the one that you got sick of?
Yes, and at the time of the Ebola scare, and all I can think of is they're in Africa. Ebola's out there somewhere.
Thank goodness my son got hooked on the Batman, the Tim Burton Batman movie.
I'm Batman.
Of course, I don't need to see that movie for a long time, because we saw it at least 3 times a week until he was like 7.
I'm Batman. Which, kudos to Tim, to Michael Keaton for, because apparently that was not a scripted line.
Yeah.
What are you? I'm Batman. You're supposed to say, like, I'm a Dark Knight, I'm a Dark, whatever. No, Keaton knows where it's at.
You know who else? You know who else knows where it's at, Joe?
Well, my wife, she just came in here and gave me supper while we were podcasting.
Oh, what was for supper?
McDonald's.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I need some sympathy and a promo.
Did you get a shamrock shake at least?
No.
She doesn't really love you.
I know.
You know who does love you?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors.
That's right. Here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads. And our first sponsor is me. That's right. Your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You can get them weekly. You can get them bi-weekly. You can get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. Thanks.
Ooh.
And after we talk to our sponsors, we talk about what's coming up on the Solitaire Rose Network. We had a new episode of Solitaire Rose Radio.
Are we on Roku yet?
We can be.
We should be.
Yeah, if you...
billions and billions of channels.
Yes, if you download the iTunes podcast app, we're on that.
Cool.
If you, I think we're going to be on TuneIn very soon. All kinds of stuff coming up. But a couple of weeks ago, we had a new episode of Solitaire Rose Radio. I gave it a bit of a break while my work schedule went nuts. But now it's back, and I interviewed our pals, Josh Finney, Kat Rocha, and Patrick McAvoy, who's been on Solitaire Rose Radio more than any other guest. And creators of Case File Arkham, Her Blood Runs Cold. And then last week we had a new novel cast and a new Bad Advice. This week we've got this here podcast and another new episode of one of the other podcasts I do that is Series in Review, where I talk about the Jack Kirby Black Panther run and how it had just a weird ending. Joe, have you ever read that run?
I don't recall.
Kirby did the first 12 issues.
I know I had it, but I've since sold it on the eBays.
Kirby did the first 12 issues, did the last issue on a cliffhanger. The next issue was plotted by Jim Shooter, who immediately threw that cliffhanger away and told a different story. Because that's what Shooter does. So we got all kinds of stuff coming up. We're gearing up for me to be a podcasting machine again, Joe.
Good.
Especially now that, we'll get to that when we get to Freaking and Geeking, but all sorts of stuff going on in the streaming world. Now, Joe, what's going on the eBay world?
Oh, just hanging and banging. I mentioned last week I was going to put a bunch of sets up, and some of them are selling. I put up Star Trek Assignment Earth, which was one of the John Byrne back when he was drawing it. And I do miss John Byrne drawing Star Trek. I miss him drawing almost anything. I do enjoy what he's doing with the Photoshop, but he was able to do some really fun stuff with the Star Trek franchise. So I had the Assignment Earth where he dealt with Gary Seven And if you don't know who it is, you can go to your Star Trek wiki. Hey, do we have a Solitaire Rose wiki yet?
No. Somebody needs to get on that.
They do. Or they could, well, it's too late, but you could have gone and bought the Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk, number 1 through 6. Corey, time to ask the Strode.
Okay.
What were the 2 years that series came out?
Oh, gosh. I know it was separated by a long time because the writer, Damon Lindelof, started writing it and then wrote this pilot for an obscure little TV series called Lost.
Yeah, nobody's paying attention.
So he had to, basically his whole life was consumed by that, and then he came back and finished it. Wasn't it like 2005 and then 2010?
You're very close. 2006, 2009.
Okay.
But that was what was on the, what was that goofy little thing on the inside, the Inca inside cover? So it may have come out in 2005, I don't know, but... Yeah, 3 years. I think, was it 1 and 2 came out?
Yep.
And then when they finally got it back together, they did a special issue that had 1 and 2 in it and then banged the rest of it out. I believe they left Wolverine, the Ultimate one, in half because Hulk just got tired of him and just ripped him in half.
Yeah, that's how the first issue started.
Yeah.
The first issue starts with Wolverine ripped in half by the Hulk.
You now, only get half a Wolverine.
Now, by the way... Does Joe know?
Uh-oh.
They announced that another series that Marvel started, and the final issues never came out, is going to be concluding in May. Joe, what series did Marvel start before Secret Wars that will be ending this May?
Joey doesn't know. Joey doesn't care.
Joey doesn't get a shiny new dime. Jonathan Hickman's S.H.I.E.L.D. is finally going to be concluded.
See, I've never read it yet. So
I hope they come out with a book that has all of them. Because that was such a cool series.
It was.
And it led up to Secret Wars. Yeah.
I sold a set of Vision 1 through 4.
Ah, you talked about putting it up last week.
Yeah, and that disappeared. Fallen Son, Death of Captain America, and this was a set that included not only the regular cover, but a lot of the Michael Turner variant covers. So you got like 10 covers in all. And the guy who bought it for me actually gave me an offer that I took, as opposed to just buying it for what I listed. The last one I'll round out will be... And this one was posted previously, Popeye 1 through 12 from IDW. Not the classic Popeye, but the when they were trying to do new stories with Popeye. And I had, it was a fun little run, but, I read it. Didn't want it anymore, so I sold it. And I've got more sets coming up. I've got more I'm going to take pictures of. I got to make sure that the whole run is there and they're in nice shape. And, of course, if you jump over to the eBays, either following the link that was in the ad or, better yet, just go K-R-A-Y-Z. And if you tell me you're a listener of the show and you see something you want, let me know. I'll give you free shipping. I'll toss in a little extra. I got all these extra keys to the Solitaire Rose compound. I mean, they're not as much fun now that we know Corey's going to be hanging there for a while, but you could go check out one of his omnibuy, but you got to put it back where you found it. Cause he knows where they all go.
Damn right. I do.
So check it out.
No one has done my dishes yet. So everyone still wants to be my friend.
That is true.
So I got that going for me, which is
step
nice.
Step one person.
Well, that's because I did their dishes.
Yes.
So now it's my favorite part of the show. No, 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 not where I watch girls do yoga.
Ooh.
Downward dog. No, it's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
One thing that really gets me nuts in the previews when I'm reading through it. And I look mostly at Marvel and DC because they got the shared universe. But damn it all, not every single book has to have universe dealing consequences. I mean, I was just looking through DC. So you got Demon, Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, Justice League America, Titans Annual. Those four books alone have world-shattering events going on in them that if they're not resolved in that particular issue, the universe will change. And even in Marvel, they do the everything changes. I mean, Venom, if this doesn't happen, everything changes. Maybe that's one of the problems you guys have in your respective universes. Not every book has to be hyped up to the point where everything is just a world and universe shattering event if the hero doesn't prevail. Because first of all, the hero will prevail, so it's kind of boring. But, you know, I just don't buy it that every little person running around has to have that type of world shattering events in their own book. So just throttle it back. Save it for the Secret Wars, for the Crisis. Anyways, personally, I'm a victim of the medical foul-ups. I had my medical insurance changed because my employer decided, well, more at Chris's employer because she got a better deal. But they decided, we don't want it to have this one. You'll have to do that one, which is fine. But then for some reason, the medicine that I take to keep my rheumatoid arthritis from crippling me, you know, they just can't change like that. They have to, well, you know, we have to go through prior authorization. Doctor gave it to him. And we have to, you know, make sure we get the information. Healthcare gave it to him. And we need these numbers. I gave it to him. And we have to process it. I'm like, what the fuck? It didn't take this long the first time I had it given to me. I mean, why is it taking a whole month? And of course, now my knuckles are so swollen and sore I can't even bend them. Which is why you don't hear incessant clicking in the background like you normally do. Just every so often I can click. So just crazy bureaucratic bullshit. I mean, I have found some very nice people online. None of them named Corey, but one guy named Craig who worked hard to help me get this going. And so hopefully by next week I can I won't have to bitterly complain that I can't move my fucking knuckles. The problem is while the symptoms appear fast once you take the meds, it's going to take a couple months once I do get the medicines for the symptoms to subside. So, you know, it's one of those things when you see people with hidden disability, you might not be able to tell. But damn it all, it fucking hurts to walk. It hurts to pick up things. It hurts to masturbate. Write. So just... I don't need it. Other than that, things ain't going too bad. I mean, they haven't shut the government down yet. I guess we got another 3 weeks before they start doing that again. And weather seems to be good, so I'll toss it over to Corey. What are you freaking on, Mr. Schrode?
Not really a whole lot. I had my annual review and was a little freaked out before that, but it went well. The snow was supposed to be all scary and horrible, and nope, I was at the group home for 20 hours, so by the time I left, they'd plowed it all away.
Oh, it was fun four-wheeling, though.
Really, the only thing that I'm freaking on is that the group home, that we're starting to lose people, because they said, you know, that they're going to be making that change.
Change!
And, whenever you say stuff like that, people start to leave a job, so they're already starting to lose people. They're promising all these bonuses, you know, if you work these many hours, these days you're going to get a bonus. And I just look at them and go, I'm already working more hours here than at my full-time job, okay? I've hit, no more.
But give me the bonuses.
Well, I get them. Because you know, they call and say yes, but then they start twisting your arm. Well, can you stay another 4 hours on Saturday? Can you stay another? They tried that on Sunday. Can you stay just another 3-4 hours? I said, you realize, of course, I'm on a 20-hour shift. Legally, you should have sent me home 4 hours ago. Because the longest shift you can work, even with sleeping, is 16 hours. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, can you go home for an hour and come back? No.
Well, would you take the certificate, go have yourself some pie, and come back?
I won't come back.
Maybe.
So, I am probably not going to be sleeping. I slept at home all last week. I'm probably not sleeping at home more than a day or two for the rest of that group home's run, to be honest. So, there you go, putting money aside, just like in 96 when I was working at a group home that was shutting down. And Joe got about half that money, and the other half went to a trip to New Orleans. You're supposed to say thank you.
A shop doesn't exist anymore. What have you done for me lately?
I let you be on the show. I haven't replaced you with Reginald.
I wouldn't care if you did.
I haven't replaced you with Wolfie.
You already have.
I haven't replaced you with a former artist who says that she's still a current artist.
Yeah, you're not that dumb.
Never put it past me. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, we're talking about reading, and for one of my Christmas presents, my daughter got me a book called Ringside, A History of Professional Wrestling in America by Scott M. Beekman. This reads like a textbook, and it's fascinating if you're a fan of either boxing or wrestling, because it goes back and it looks at wrestling through the ages and really flows along on how it became when it was a real sport and people were working for themselves and getting a name and getting a reputation, how they would have matches that would go on for hours until somebody would win, and how things changed to where it is nowadays as it is more sports entertainment. The reasoning behind how they started to do work matches instead of shoot matches, the rise and fall of it. There are pitchers, which is kind of cool because you're talking about guys like Jim Londos, who became quite possibly one of wrestling's first sex symbols at the turn of the century, and Gus Sonnenberg, who was one of the first guys who, when they start bringing in college football players entering the wrestling rings around the 20s. And I'm up to the point now where television gives wrestling a second shot in the arm, because now that really started bringing in the gimmick era, where before you had guys based on either the fact that they were a terrible Turk or whoever the bad guy of the week was, or even earlier when it was a legit sport that, yes, they were genuinely undefeatable because they were that damn strong and good. And just a very, very fascinating read. If you are a pro wrestling fan and even care an iota about of their history and just how it became from an actual legitimate sport to what we consider sports entertainment today. And Corey, you would like it too, because it also talks a lot about how the territories were formed, how AWA was formed, how they decided to band this group together as NWA. And as you're reading through it, you'll hear names like there was Zabisco. There was wrestlers all the way back into the 20s, if not before, that were named Zabisco. So quite a legacy there. I don't know if it's any relation to Larry, but you'd think with a unique name like that, they must. So just a lot of fun. Comic-wise, I actually, usually I rattle off all the graphic novels I read, but I actually sat down and read some comics. I figured if I buy the damn things, I might as well, read them before the Great Purge of 2023 starts. And I'd caught up on Avengers. I don't recall if I have the first one or not, but I must have. And I think it reads better altogether, and it's slowly revealing. I mean, I already know the Grandmaster was in it, but I haven't been told who his opponent is, although I've got a lot of good guesses in. And again, some of the problems I have is that, I have no idea who Lightning is. I have no idea what happened to the Red Hulk. I have no idea who Iron Patriot is. I didn't know Dr. Voodoo was back alive. So I'm, this is one of the things that is also killing comics, whether it's DC or Marvel. Yeah, I'm going to bow out, but when I come back and things aren't the way I expect them, and I'm not talking a new character, but I don't know half these characters, and you're making it real hard for me to read. But read I shall, and I've been enjoying it so far. There is a Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica out, issue number one. Peter David's writing it, So I have high hopes for it, and the first issue was pretty cool. I have a feeling, though, this one probably better as a graphic novel, but I didn't do that. I'm going to jump right on in it. A couple of these, I think I've already, if I haven't reviewed them already, I'll just mention them quickly. I mean, Captain America, 696, he's kind of moping across America. People got mad when Superman did it, but I guess it's okay when Captain America does it because, you know, you were evil for a while, so you've got to go back and become better. Plus,
here's the other thing. It's only going to be like 2-3 issues, whereas with Superman, it was a year.
Yeah, and then he just kind of ended because New 52 came along. But what's interesting about it is the fact that people are, well, other than, you know, he's going out as Steve Rogers, but people know who Steve Rogers is. So that's kind of cool. Doctor Strange is taking a real interesting turn, and it says right on the cover, Loki Sorcerer Supreme. And they're doing something that I didn't realize. It's kind of recontinuity, but they're saying that Vishanti's choose the Sorcerer Supreme. That's not the way I recall it. I recall you studied it and you became it. But, you know, it's an interesting story, so I'll forgive that little faux pas of continuity. Still enjoying Youngblood from Image. I got to go back and reread an issue because they took a left turn, and I hate it when they do that from one issue to the next and they take a left turn. You're like, did I miss an issue? No, I didn't. They just turned for nothing. I had to pick up Archie's number 4 because the monkeys were in it. And this is a different continuity Archie. I have a feeling they're setting up for Crisis on Archie Universe or Secret Archie Wars or something, because there are so many different Archie books that really have no tie together, you know. And as soon as we see Dalton popping around like he was in Life of Archie, you know that Crisis is coming. But I picked this up just because it had the monkeys in it. The monkeys are not drawn anything like the monkeys, which was discerning, but it did fit the style of the comic. And they probably could have because they had them that way on the back of the book. So if you're a monkeys fan, it's worth picking up. The next books here, Corey, I need you to wait a second while I put on my rubber gloves. And you think I'm doing this for fun, but God damn it. These next books have those fucking shiny black covers I hate. And I've already put a fingerprint on one of them, and I had to smear it off. The first one is Metal. And I guess we're one more issue away. And I bought, you know, I was kind of, whatever, I'm not going to follow it. But I picked it up because Daniel, a.k.a. Sandman, was in it. And I've really enjoyed it, although they are taking kind of a left turn again. But again, this could be a problem of my just not remembering issue 4 or having not read it. But, you know, basically, Grant Morrison did it better. The darkness has won. But we'll see what this happens. I think it just ends up being a new bunch of goofs running around. But it's a fun ride. I am really, really enjoying Doomsday Clock, where the Watchmen are coming back. Again, funky black covers with you even touch it the wrong way, your fingerprint is now permanently part of your comic collection. It's real interesting where they're going with it. I don't know. Well, 2 came out a while ago, so I did like the, I don't know if I'm revealing, spoiler warning if you haven't read it, but when, you know, Batman and Rorschach finally meet, they're doing a good job of explaining what's going on, and I'm interested to see where it ends up. I guess I'm just going to have to trust Mr. Johns to see where he goes with this one. But I'm really enjoying it. Okay, now I can take the gloves off because the rest of the books don't have them stupid-ass shiny covers. I read the entire Venom Inc. Incorporated, I guess, which was a crossover going through Spider-Man and Venom. And then, of course, it had Venom of Alpha Omega. I could have gone without it. I mean, it was a good run, but it didn't really have a special event vibe on it. It's certainly not as much as like Threat Level Red Part 1, the next issue. going on. But, you know, it's Slott's final run on it, so we'll see where it's going. And the last run I picked up was Phoenix Resurrection, where they finally bring Jean Grey back. I really, really enjoyed this series. I thought they did a good job of putting it together. A good book to do weekly because it's finite and it's over. I hope they resolve... Well, I guess they did resolve once and forever. You know, Jean's back. And, of course, I didn't realize, you know, Cyclops was dead. I mean, the older Cyclops. Because I think I had to... I think you told me that maybe a couple podcasts ago. Or I emailed you, like, what happened to Cyclops?
Yeah, he died in the fight with the Inhumans.
In which I glossed over. So, again, I'll have to go back and pick it up somewhere. Good characterizations. I really like the idea. One of the issues where somebody has to go talk to Jean and young Cyclops decides he's going to do it. And they said, no, I don't think so. And you see him just kind of lower his head, sad. But, it, you know, there's still other things to be told, like what happened. The two Jeans haven't met each other. There are references to something going on in other books, the aforementioned Jean Grey book. And so naturally, I figured I'd pick up X-Men Red, and I... what happened to the art? I mean, Phoenix Resurrection was good art. Jean Grey was drawn very lovely. And then when I got to the next one, I'm just not hot for the art style. I don't know what it is. It's a lot of angles, a lot of harsh coloring. The storyline was okay, bringing back a villain I really dislike. But, you know, it has potential to go somewhere. But again, they're doing the old, mutants are bad, we have to, whatever, dudes. Earth, grow up. So, and that was pretty much it. I haven't seen Black Panther. We'll hopefully get to talk about it next week. And I did, the only thing I've been watching lately is we pulled out our old Hogan's Heroes discs and we've been watching that. And I'm on the sixth season because I just decided I might as well jump on something I haven't seen before. And I guess I have seen a lot of them. There's a few of them I haven't. And they're just so gosh darn silly. They're just a lot of fun. You know, I mean, just – and it – I read one of those I forget, kind of like a textbook where some guy – did a real heavy dissertation about Hogan's Heroes and, you know, details, facts, how they chose people. And one of, and you can see them for sale every so often because they're like $40, you know, I mean, they're textbook level things. And they always talked about how they just had a fun time doing the show. And the special guests came in, loved to come in. They loved to come back as special other characters, you know, whenever, I can't remember the name, they would play Burkhalter and, Hochstetter. They just loved it when their guys were in the script and they could come in. And you could tell these guys were just having a fun time doing the show. A lot of holes in the plot, but boy, just check your brain at the door. I mean, I remember watching these as a kid because it was like Hogan's Heroes was on right before the 6:30 nightly news. This is before they started the whole idea of 5 o'clock news and 4:30 news and 4 o'clock news. And this is the 3 o'clock prequel news. So they always had half-hour shows running. And right before on Channel 5, Hogan's Heroes ran. So I watched a lot of Hogan's Heroes. So that was kind of fun. We're actually going to pull out news radio next. So that should be fun. That's pretty much it. What's you geeking on, Corey?
First thing I am geeking on is last night was the Elimination Chamber for WWE. No, that's not a British toilet. It's a pay-per-view. Where people, instead of a steel cage where people are let loose every 5 minutes, and they had the first women's match. They started the show with it, and it was by far the best thing that was on the show. Just a great pay-per-view all around, but that women's match blew me away. It was very well done, a lot of classic old-school booking with it, too. So if you're a WWE fan, fire up the WWE Network and watch that. Speaking of streaming networks, Joe, I've talked in the past about Filmstruck, which is a streaming network that has the Criterion Film Collection on it. Today they added Turner Classic Movies to that streaming service. I may never leave the house. You name the classic movie, it's probably there. As well as all of the archived Turner Classic Movies special programming, interviews, just more stuff than you will ever have time in your life to watch.
And what was the name of that streaming service?
Filmstruck.
And if the good people at Filmstruck want to, give us a sample and have us review it for them, we're more than willing to.
Why, yes. As a matter of fact, if they want to give me a free year's worth, so guess how I've already paid for a year, and I've been advertising it on this year's show for a year. Comic-wise, I got caught up on Spider-Man. Dan Slott is building to the big story, but he's also tying up a lot of loose ends. We finally got the story about Loki's, the favor that Spider-Man gets to ask Loki for.
Oh, you must be ahead of me.
We also get a bit of a wrap up to the clone story that they did. Basically tying up some loose ends from that. Dan Slott's going through and finishing up a bunch of stuff and creating a character that people are really excited about. If you go to eBay, this Red Goblin first appearance is already at $20 on eBay and rising.
Ooh, I haven't gotten mine yet.
So I don't know if it's going to continue to rise, but let's see, what else did I read? Oh, I was on the Marvel Unlimited, and I don't know if this is a mistake or they have the rights or what, but they had Marvel 2-in-1 number 20. Joe? Does Joe know why Marvel couldn't reprint Marvel 2-in-1 number... No, it's 21. Why Marvel couldn't reprint Marvel 2-in-1 number 21?
Well, that had to have been the Doc Savage issue.
Yes, it is, and it's available out on Marvel Unlimited. So I don't know if they got special dispensation or they just put it out there and nobody tapped them on the shoulder and said, wait a minute. And the other thing that I am reading, a few years ago, Marvel put out these nice little, almost digest size reprints of the entire run of Vampire Tales, which was one of their black and white comics. And I was not at the group home last weekend, so when I was able to go to bed, I could read for a while. So I was reading Vampire Tales, and I'm reading the Morbius stories by Steve Gerber, which I had never read before. And Joe, when you think Morbius, you kind of think, he's the vampire who was created by science, and you felt kind of bad for him, right?
Yeah.
Steve Gerber wrote him as if he was a horrible bastard. So after you get past the what? They're really good stories. Steve Gerber took advantage of the fact that it was a black and white magazine. It wasn't subject to the comics code. And really did some good deep stuff there for 70s comics. And I also looked at what's coming in Box Day. And
I was hoping it would be this week.
Well, it's supposedly going to be put in the mail this week, but I have my doubts. But in there are the last two volumes that I need to get of Crime Does Not Pay, the Dark Horse Archives. So I will have completed that hardcover run. So I'm finishing up my runs on a lot of these hardcover reprints that I wasn't able to afford back when I was working much less and for much less pay. So, gosh, what am I going to do this summer? Oh, yeah, I'll read comics. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
If you have a certain point of view and reasons that you think are valid, then whether it's pro or anti, you can only and should only express those views you honestly hold. Who said that, Corey?
I don't know, because I don't ever say anything I believe.
Steve Ditko.
Oh!
Hit my music.
Wow, a Ditko quote.
I thought you'd like that. Music! Yeah. Hit it! Funk is on a roll.
Done, bitches!